let me just, I'm going to throw about four or five things at you tonight. And I just appreciate the pastor extending the invitation to me. And it means a lot to me, it really does. And appreciate your fellowship. And I do hope I get to come back. Hope you'll have me back. And if I do, I want to sing with you. I said, I want to sing with you. Yeah, next time. Thank you. Well, you're not so shabby yourself for an old guy. So anyway, hear that. If I go anywhere and I do anything, it's because God just put a bunch of stuff in my heart. And I just want to go tell everybody what I found, what I see in this absolutely amazing book. It still gets me. I learn something new all the time, and I'm just going through the same book, and I'm reading the same passages over and over again I've already read, and I'm just going, look at that. Gary will tell you, I'll come running downstairs. Gary, look at this. And he goes, yeah, it's King James Bible. Praise the Lord. Amen. No, Gary, look. And I said, and I know better now than to just try to tell him the short of it. I got to make a 2-hour video in 3 parts to be able to explain it all. Have you ever heard of anything? Have you ever heard of what they call the divine spark? Have you ever heard of that? You never heard of that? Gnosticism? You ever studied Gnosticism? The divine spark that's in everybody and it's going to come out of full flame of deity. You know that? That's in the King James Bible. The secret and the teaching behind that false doctrine is in this Bible, word for word. I found it in here. That stunned me. You ever heard of, in ancient mythology, they believed in 4 elements, earth, air, fire, and water. You heard that one? Elemental witchcraft. You ever heard of that? Wiccas basically base their power upon what they call the elementals, earth, air, fire, and water. North, south, east, and west, the 4 cardinal seasons and things like that. Know a little bit about that. Did you know they're in here? The elementals that witches base their power on are mentioned in here, specifically in the book of Revelation and in Paul's letter to the Galatians when he said, who hath bewitched you, O foolish Galatians? It's in here. I have a collection, either in hard copy or electronic copy, of probably 40, 50 Masonic and Rosicrucian texts, including Morals and Dauba by Albert Pike, Secret Teachings of All Ages, Albert Mackey's Encyclopedia of Freemasonry. I had that in hard copy. People just send me stuff. And I've read a lot of that looking. Masons have a secret. And I wanted to know what their secret was. And I read all their books because I thought, surely somebody wrote it down. Now, let me show you this. This is the outside, the house of the Temple Lodge, Washington, D.C. Kind of a funny shaped building. I won't tell you all the history about it, but I've counted this. And actually, it's been done by other people, by Masonic authorities and so on, and they'll tell you that it has this many and this many. It's actually a design of 2 different concepts brought together. This building right here is, they call it, a temple. So what does that tell you? Represents a body, doesn't it? Represents the human body. And there's a false god in here they call the worshipful master. No man can serve 2 of them, by the way. So, but they tell you, see the building design here, this is a Greek temple. It's designed after the old pagan Greek temples. This, however, is an Egyptian step pyramid. And they say that this Greek temple with the 4 walls represents things that have to do with the earth. And then they tell you that this step pyramid had to do with things that are up in the heavens. You remember these 2 globes here. One represented the earth and one represented the heavens. Now we see the same thing here. This represents the earth. This represents the heavens. What does it mean? Well, I'll tell you that there are exactly, see these columns here? There's exactly 33 of them here. But we're not done. This step pyramid has exactly 13 rows on it. Do the math. 33 plus 13. Come on. Homeschooled? Are you homeschooled? Then you should have figured it out. You're smarter than those public school kids, aren't you? 33 plus 13. 46. This is a temple that represents a secret that Masons have. And this Bible has the secret in it. It tells the secret of what Masons are trying to conceal. And I love it. I have videos back there that will tell you all that stuff. Now, and I'm kind of adding some things together because I have a goal in mind here. So let me show you this. This is kind of what I wanted to do this morning, and we kind of ran out of time, but I'm going to kind of add something that's, I think, pertinent to what we're talking about. 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I fear lest by how many means? And Paul said the same thing in 2 Thessalonians 2. Concerning the day of the Lord and our gathering together into Him, he said, but I fear lest by, be not deceived by any Christian bookstore. Be not deceived by Oprah Winfrey. Be not deceived by Joel Osteen or Rick Warren or Zondervan Publishers. Be not deceived by any means. And if you walk away from this, you will believe the lie. Because there's a lie that's fixing to be told. A big one. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. They're going to believe it. So he said, lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. How did he beguile Eve? Yea, hath God said. He questioned God's word. He contradicted God's word. Ye shall not surely die. And then the devil opened up the first mystery religion on planet Earth when he said, for God doth know. You know what he was saying? There is an extra revelation that God did not tell Adam in his instructions that I am going to open up to you. He's the father of the mystery religions. He has a secret doctrine. For God doth know, the day ye eat thereof, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. By the way, write this down. You can do it after we're done. Look at Genesis chapter 3. Write down every word the serpent said in Genesis chapter 3. And count the number of those words. Okay? Don't do it now, because I've got other things I want to talk about. All right? So watch this. The devil corrupts the word. You remember in Mark chapter 4, I think Matthew 13 talks about it, the parable of the seed and the sower. Do you remember that? The seed is the what? The word. Seed is a DNA term, isn't it?
Yes.
Right? Because all the seeds that we plant, you know what that is? That's just a packet of DNA from whatever plant that was. Same thing with humans. It's seed. It's DNA. The seed is the word. It's DNA. And so he said, you know, and some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air. God, Jesus is teaching you the language of the symbols of the Bible. Fowls have what? Does the dragon have wings? Yeah. He's a fiery, flying serpent, the Bible calls him. So then he says, the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Then he tells you the meaning of it. Immediately when the word is sown, Satan comes immediately and devours it.
Yes, sir.
And I'm telling you, every day, if you get up and you try to read your Bible, the devil somehow, some way is going to try to show up and eat it up before it takes any root in your life.
That's right. Yes.
You preachers ought to know this. You've preached to people. You've seen them supposedly come down and get saved. I mean, you preach, you got that, give them scriptures and everything, and then they're here for a week and they're gone. What happened?
Yes.
Came down and got it, didn't he? There's actually a picture of the devil devouring the word, or wanting to devour the word. Revelation 12. A woman's going to give birth to a man-child who's going to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Where's the dragon at? He's standing before the woman, ready to do what? Devour who? The Word of God, Jesus Christ. Ready to devour the Word as soon as he's born. Isn't that neat? Okay? That's just amazing to me. So the Bible is actually explaining to you the nature of the devil, how he works, how he operates, what he likes to do. He loves to come in and take away and corrupt the Word of God. Saul said, or Paul, Acts chapter 13, then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. You know who he was talking to? A guy in Acts chapter 13 called false prophet. That's what the King James calls him, false prophet. And he said, oh, full of all, what? Subtlety. Who was his father? The devil. And all mischief, thou child of who? Should we, now, Pastor, that's spiritually talking. Right? Right? Let me run this by you in case that's your firm ground, your firm position. Now, that doesn't really mean he's a child of the devil. That doesn't mean that, Pastor. Now, hold on here. Let me just kind of throw something at you here real quick. Genesis chapter 3. Okay? In fact, let me read this here because I want to make sure I get it right to you. Because if I'm going to throw it at you, I'm going to throw a strike. Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between thee, the serpent, and the woman. And between thy seed and her seed. Who's the seed of the woman that he was talking about here? Jesus. Is he real?
Amen.
Then try to explain to me how the seed of the serpent is not. Wow. Think about it. Think about all those places in the Bible where it called them son of Belial. Son of Belial. Children of Belial. Daughter of Belial.
Yes, sir.
Either this Bible means exactly what it says, or that means that we have a license to make it whatever we want to. I don't have that license.
Amen?
Amen? Amen. I got a license to carry a weapon. I just don't have a license to change the Bible into what I want to. Believe me, I'm less dangerous with a weapon than I am changing the Bible. Amen? Okay, so he said, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to do what? Pervert the right ways of the Lord. From the moment the Apostle Paul started writing his letters, and as they went out and were copied to the churches so the churches could read them, guys were taking what he wrote, and they were going, that's dangerous. We got to change that. So they began to copy it, and they left stuff out of it.
Yes, sir.
You know why they left stuff out of it? You know who they were? The Gnostics who believed in the divine spark. It's in the Bible. I just put out part one of the video called The Divine Spark. It's out this week. Part two is going to have to wait a little while because we had a fire in my studio. I'm here going to release this video called The Power of the Flame. And our church catches on fire. I'm not making that up. The day after I recorded part one, our church caught on fire. So we kind of have to do some cleanup and get some electricity working and everything like that. You pray for us, all right? But here's what I'm telling you. The devil loves to corrupt the Word of God. For we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God. How many did he say do it? There are more people out there who hate the King James Bible than there are who believe it.
Yes.
So while New Testament believers were copying the words of God, men of corrupt minds were altering God's Word to fit their doctrine.
Yes, sir.
I love you people. I love you, Pastor. Some guy handed me a book. And if I named the name of the book and the writer, you'd know it instantly. I said, come on, don't you believe this? And I read it. And every place the writer of this book didn't like what the King James said, he went to the Revised Version. Because his doctrine was not found in the King James, so he went numerous times to the Revised Version. The first of the corrupted Bibles. So then why don't you believe that? Because he changed the Bible to get it. You want to get inside my head? You bring me an unaltered text, and then you can get inside my head. Because I'm stubborn. I'm mean that way. So we have the pure vine, which is Christ, the Word of God. I was teaching about that. That's the vineyard. The vine of Christ. I'm the vine, you the branches. All right? But then we have a corrupt vine called the vine of Sodom. Where does that come from? Deuteronomy 32, 31. For their rock is not as our rock. Notice our King James translators who were so ignorant and poorly misled. They decided to put lowercase r here and capital R here. I think they were smarter than these guys give them credit. Their rock. Now watch this. Watch this now. Now we're looking at two rocks, aren't we? One of them is Christ, the divine stone cut without hands, Daniel chapter 2. The other rock has been sculpted and carved on. You see the difference? This rock is a stone cut without hands, which means man did not make this rock. This rock is a carved image that man made from his own imagination. For their rock is not... Now, here's the thing. How you tell the difference. Let me give you a couple more scriptures here. We have Revelation 5, we have, "Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book." The Lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen?
Yes.
"Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil as a roaring
lion."
So C.S. Lewis writes about a lion. And everybody's telling you, "Oh, that's Jesus." Really? Then how come that's not his name? So if you see a lion, how can you tell whether it's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus Christ, or the roaring lion who's going to destroy you? Well, Peter told you how to do it. You got to be sober.
Yes, sir.
Which means, number one, you don't drink liquor. And number two, you don't let Benny Hinn slap you on the head. You don't get drunk in the Spirit. Because we're told to be sober. So their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is the vine of who? So now, do you think the vine of Sodom runs through America right now? I checked the news at home while we were out to dinner. And, you know, the Boy Scouts, they said, you know, "Hey, these scoutmasters that are Sodomites, you know, they're good guys, you know." Oh, sure, listen, they're not trying to harm anybody. So they just arrested one in St. Louis. Scoutmaster. Their vine is the vine of Sodom and the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes. See, we have grapes, don't we? The new wine is on the cluster. We have grapes. It's the grape of the wine, the new wine of the Holy Spirit. Their grapes are grapes of gall, and their clusters are bitter. Their wine is what? And the cruel venom of asps. Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures? You know what God's treasure is? He said, if you'll study this book, I'll show you how to spot the poison. I'll show you how to do it. So in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 39, one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered thereof wild gourds, his lap full, came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. You see, these two manuscripts, one of them Tischendorf found, a guy named Tischendorf, he was looking for ancient manuscripts. He was in a Catholic monastery in Mount Sinai, Egypt. And he found an ancient manuscript from 300 AD called the Sinaiticus. And he found out that it was one of the oldest copies of the New Testament. The problem with it was, It was a copy based upon what the Gnostics had done with the Gospels and the letters of Paul. So he brings this out and says, this is a more accurate copy of the original manuscripts, and Westcott and Hort fell for it. But the problem is, we don't really know where that manuscript came from. We don't know it. The Vaticanus, you ever heard of that one? That's the other one. You know where it is right now? Vatican Archives. Who gets to go down there? Nobody. Who has ever seen the entire Vaticanus document? 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 people since the Vatican put it in their archives. Nobody else gets to see the whole thing. I wonder why. What are they trying to hide in there? So they found these gourds. They knew them not. Verse 40, so they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass as they were eating of the pottage, they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. See, that's what happens. If you'll drink from the new wine of the pure vine of the Word of God, you'll live. But if you drink from the wild vine of Sodom, the Bible's very clear, you will die. How many of you want to die? Eternally. Not me.
Amen.
So I'm going to stick with the pure vine. The one that I know. The one that I trust. That's what I want you to do as well. Now, let's see here. Oh, here's what I wanted to get to. Okay? Let me show you this. What is a GMO? Does anybody know? If you say it's a truck from General Motors, I'm going to... Watch it, Roy. I know you. What's a GMO? You sound like Babylonians here. It's a genetically modified organism. Monsanto. They said, you know what? We think that we can make corn kernels this big. Why, we could feed millions of people. We can do... Imagine what we can do, because we know how to take the book that God wrote and rewrite it. So we have genetically, and now Monsanto has so much power in this country that I think it was the state of California, they wanted to pass a law in the state of California, it may have been in Washington, D.C., I don't remember. They wanted to pass a law that said any food product that has a genetically modified content in it, it should be labeled on the package so we know what we're eating. Monsanto spent millions of dollars in lobbying. You know what lobbying is, don't you? To make sure that bill never saw the light of day. And it went down in defeat. So you, according to them, don't have a right to know of the food that you're putting in your mouth. And then Monsanto and all these other companies, they're pushing the legislatures in different states and across the country and in different parts of the world to make sure that you don't get to grow your own food in your own land with your own seeds. Now, you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. Why? You ought to believe in a conspiracy because they're right here in the Bible. So you know what we have now? We have genetically modified churches, preacher. You see this? This is the DNA of a believer in Jesus Christ. This is, you know, hey, when we use the word members, we're talking about church people, aren't we? We are members of one body. Somebody say amen. So David said, in thy book, all my members were written. Hey, rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. Somebody say amen. So the DNA of the church, since Christ came, has been that pure vine, that pure line of manuscripts that comes all the way down now to the King James Bible. This is the DNA of God's church. So they decided, let's alter the DNA. You see, if we can alter the DNA of a human, we alter the human. So right now, they're meeting, I'm not making this up. nations are thinking about now how to craft laws that will allow for a baby to be born that has three or more parents. Never in human history have we ever had to even deal with such a question, much less even consider it. Now, we are thinking about how we're going to write the laws and redo birth certificates and citizenship and rights and everything. Why? Because we now have the ability to make babies with three or more DNA donation parents. Then, we have a really big problem with what to do with a human being who so far in human history, humans have never been able to mate themselves with other creatures and create offspring. Not in the natural realm. In the labs, they're doing it. So now we have to figure out these creatures that have mostly human DNA, but some animal DNA. Are they human? Would they have rights? Or are they just property? How do we deal with that? You see, man is trying to be God. We don't have the brain for it. So now they're modifying human beings. And we're modifying the church. So the church now, these churches all over the place, because they have abandoned this DNA, they weren't born again of incorruptible seed.
Yes. That's right.
They were born again of corruptible seed. And you see, if a guy comes up to me and says, "Hey, I'm your brother." Well, hey, brother, how you doing? No, I mean, your mom and dad had another son and didn't tell you about it. I want to see the DNA test. Okay? Especially if he's like this tall and skinny. Okay? I want to see the DNA. Okay? Because the DNA will tell me whether or not we're brothers. We have the same father. So when it says you are of your father, the devil, do you think God really meant what he said there? You should believe it.
Amen.
Okay? So now we have people who they want us... And I like to be nice to people. I don't like judging anybody's salvation.
Amen.
But if you don't have the same Father as I do, we're not
Amen.
Brethren.
Yes, sir.
I don't like being mean. But every now and then it just crawls out of me. Let's... 7 o'clock. All right, good deal. Listen, I've had a good day, had a long day. Let me just show you some of the neatest things that I've ever seen in my life. When God began to show me the King James Bible, God began to teach me numbers in the Bible. Okay, give me a number and I'll tell you what it means. Give me a number. Huh?
Five.
Okay, watch this. I talked about it last night. In Genesis 5, you have that repeated pattern of Adam, fifth time he dies. So 5 is the number of death. We have death reigning, 5 lords of the Philistines reigning over Samson, and he destroys his enemies in his death. The last enemy shall be destroyed is death. But the number 5 also, to us, means that we are going to escape death. Do you know the Enoch is mentioned in Genesis chapter 5, escaping death? The only other place you find Enoch mentions is Hebrews 11 verse, and he's mentioned... The Bible word for the rapture is not the rapture, it's the translation. Guess how many times? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, voice of the archangel, the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to the... Amen?
Yes.
So now watch this. I want to give you a phrase out of the Bible, and you're just going to go, "I get it. I don't know what it means, but I get it." Whoa, the day of the Lord is at... Isn't it neat? Is that good enough for you? Give me another one. 17? Who said that? You're going to like this. 17 is the number for transformation. How do I know this? I went to the 17th chapter of the Bible. In Genesis 17, Abram is no longer Abram. He's got a new name. Abraham. Sarai is no longer Sarai. She is new name. Do you know, I think it's in Revelation 2:17. Jesus promised, I'll give you a new name, or write it on a white stone, give you a new name. Do you know that on the day of Pentecost, there were 17 languages spoken? Do you know why? Because it was a precursor of the whirlwind time. There's a whole lot here. But there was a transformation on that day because God was changing over from being, for the Jews, Israel, to who? Gentiles. Transformation. You know what's in 1 Thessalonians 4:17? You know, 1 Corinthians 17 times 3 is 51. 1 Corinthians 15:51. What does that say? We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be. It's a number for change, transformation. Give me another one.
77.
77? I actually have that here. If you'll wait like 3 hours, I'll get to it, all right? Give me one more. Who said 10? 10. Watch this. It's a number for dominion. Okay? Because remember when we was talking about boys wrestling? If I'm standing on your head, I have how many toes? I can't see them, but I have 10. Okay? I have 10 toes. The 10 toes are 10 what? Kings, the Bible says. That's dominion. Pharaoh had dominion over the Israelites when they were in Egypt, didn't he? God gave him dominion over them, didn't he?
Yes.
God put Israel under Pharaoh. That's why God didn't tell Moses, go get my people and just leave. No, 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 no. Pharaoh had to give them permission. God didn't say, leave. God said, tell Pharaoh, let. Because God had given Pharaoh dominion over his people. Just like now, death has dominion over us, doesn't it? In our mortal bodies. Okay? So watch this. How did Pharaoh end up letting them go? So then God takes Israel to the base of Mount Sinai and does what? 10 Commandments. You see how it works? Okay? So how long is the Lord going to reign? 10 times 10 times 10. 1,000 years. So number 4, dominion. So why does the beast have 10 horns? They are 10 kings who have dominion. And it does. There is a connection between those 10 horns and the curse for breaking the 10 commandments. There's a connection there. See how these numbers will tell you the wonderful, amazing plan of God. So what does the number 7 mean? The number 7, you actually see it. The first place it's mentioned in the Bible, Genesis chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were what? And all the hosts of them, and on the seventh day God ended, and God blessed the seventh day, and so you have all the meanings right here. Finishing and being ended and His blessing and His sanctification. What does sanctification have to do with? The Holy Spirit. How many spirits are there? For yet 7 days. This is completion. Genesis chapter 7. What did God do in the 7th chapter of the Bible? I'm done. You know what the number 8 is? New beginnings. How many people were there on the ark? And in Genesis chapter 8, they come off of the ark into a new world.
Yes, sir.
It's all there. Yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. See the word fulfill her week? It's an ending. It's being done with. By the way, the word week or weeks, 28 times in the King James Bible, 7 times 4. I'm going to move through this stuff real fast, all right? 7 weeks shalt thou number unto thee. So 7 weeks with 7 days in them is how many days? 49 days. And that was what the Jubilee year and the Jubilee weeks and the feast was supposed to be based upon. 70. Oh, I like this one. Daniel chapter 9. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. So 70 weeks with 7 days in equals 490 days. which is 70 times 7. Can you think of anything in the Bible? Look at this. Upon thy holy city, to number one, finish the transgression. And make an end of sins. And to make reconciliation for iniquity. And to bring in everlasting righteousness. And to seal up the vision and prophecy. And to anoint the most holy. 7 things here that God's going to do in 70 weeks, 70 times 7. God's a God of order. Amen?
Yes.
Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, that word, 42 times in the King James Bible, 7 times 6. And he rested on the seventh day. The word rested is mentioned 21 times in the KJV. Seventh day or seventh month in the Old Testament, total 77 times in the Old Testament. Those two phrases there total 77 times in the Old Testament. The word Sabbath is mentioned exactly 77 times in the Old Testament, the King James Bible. You know what the Sabbath is? Seventh day. The phrase 7 times is 35 times in the Bible. 7 years is 42 times. All of those are multiples of 7. And when you add them together, they end up with 77. The exact phrase, 7 days in the King James Bible is 98 times. 7 times 7 times 2. The word ceased 70 times. Finished 42 times. Perfectly 7 times in the Bible. By the way, I did try to count these in the NIV. When I first started seeing these, I'm going, I wonder if these are in the NIV. And I went, no, they're not. They weren't. They're not. The exact phrase, the end of the world, is in your King James Bible exactly 7 times. The phrase, the ends of the earth, 28 times, 7 times 4. We have 7 seals, 7 trumpets, 7 angels, 7 what? What's that word there? Last. Plagues. God's going to make an end of everything, isn't He? But what He ends, He said, behold, I make all things. So the phrase most high in your King James Bible is mentioned exactly 49 times. Now count this phrase with me. I will be like the most high. 7. Who says that? The dragon. How many heads does he have? I will be like the Most High. The phrase Most High, 49 times, 7 times 7 in your Bible. The phrase Holy One in the King James is 48 times. That's the caps of H and zero or O. But this verse here, the lofty One, whose name is Holy, makes it 49 times, 7 times 7. The phrase, angel of the Lord, 56 times in the Old Testament, 7 times 9. The phrase, God of Israel, 203 times, 7 times 29. The Lord God, 546 times in the King James Bible, 7 times 78. God Almighty is mentioned exactly 11 times in the King James. Almighty God, 3 times, that makes 14, 7 times 2. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. 7 words. God, with a capital G, 4,081 times, it's a multiple of 7. Perfectly. A perfect multiple of 7. The phrase, works of God, 7 times. The phrase, power of God, 14 times, 7 times 2. The mount of God is mentioned 4 times. The mountain of God is 3 times. Total, 7. The phrase husbandman. Guess who the husbandman is? It's the Father. 7 times in the King James. Then we have the lineage of Jesus. In Matthew, it's 14 plus 14 plus 14. 42, 7 times 6. In Luke, there's 77 names in this lineage. From Jesus to God. 77 names. I think He's the Son of God, don't you?
Amen.
The word church is mentioned exactly 77 times in the King James Bible. Now get this. Watch this. You see this here in Luke chapter 3? It's the lineage. Shows who the Father was. That lineage is 77. Christ is the 77th in line from God. Now the church is mentioned 77 times. You know what the Bible says about the church? We are joint heirs with Christ. And it matches. Church, 77 times. The 77th verse of the Bible, it says, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." Why did God make coats of skins for Adam and Eve? Because they were naked. The 77th occurrence of the word church is the Laodicean church, and they need clothes because they are naked. Where should they get their clothes from? Man? God. 77th chapter of the Bible references the tabernacle of the congregation. This phrase is mentioned 21 times in the book of Exodus. It is mentioned 133 times in the whole Bible, 7 times 19. The phrase Passover or Passovers is mentioned 77 times, and Christ is our Passover, who is the 77th in line from God with the church mentioned 77 times. Baptize, baptized, baptizes, baptizeth, and baptizing. All of those words, 77 times in the King James Bible. The phrase, in Christ, is 77 times in the King James Bible. Can you think of a verse that uses that phrase? Think of one. Who's got one? If any man be in Christ... He is a new God. Watch this. Watch this now. Watch this. Watch this. So, just checking you. If any man be in Christ, I don't know what that means to be in Christ. God drew a picture of it. He drew a picture of it. When Noah is in the ark, he is in Christ. And when he's in the ark, is he going to sink? Is he going to die? He's in Christ. And when he comes out in Genesis, when the eight come out in Genesis chapter 8, they're in a new world. That's a picture. Because a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And we have just about run through 6 days since Adam. This is why evolution and the Bible don't mix.
Amen.
We're about to enter the seventh day, which is going to be how long? 1,000 years. You say, I don't believe that. I got two witnesses. Peter said, day of the Lord is as 1,000 years. David said, for 1,000 years in thy sight is but yesterday. So I have two witnesses. Now let me ask you a question. When God told Adam, every tree, you know, I gave you, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat from the day thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. Did God mean what he said? Did he really? So when Adam ate that, what happened when he went to bed that night? He got back up the next day. So is God a liar? No. How long did Adam live? 930 years. He didn't make it to 1,000, did he? He died in the day. Who's the oldest man in the Bible? Methuselah. How old did he live? 969. That's still not 1,000, is it? No one lived to be a day old. A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. So what's going to happen? We're leaving the sixth day, and we're going to enter the seventh day, the rest, the Sabbath, for 1,000 years. Christ is going to reign. What's going to happen after that? The eighth day is going to come. What day was Isaac to be circumcised on? Why? New beginnings. New life. We're going to start all over again with a new heaven and a new earth. Mm-mm. Peculiar. 7 times in the Bible. We're his workmanship. 7 times in King James. Witnesses. 49 times. Assembly. 49 times. Bride. 14 times. First fruit. 7 times. New Testament. Fishers. I'll make you fishers of 7 times. Kids, these are all words related to the church, isn't there? Witnesses and assembly and bride and first fruits, fishers, kinsmen, all multiples of 7. Daughter of Zion or Sion, 28 times, 7 times 4. Daughter of Jerusalem, 7 times. Children of Israel, 644 times, multiple of 7. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. And he sent them out to heal the sick. The kingdom of God has come upon you. The phrase kingdom of God or apostrophe S 70 times in the King James Bible. Just the word king with a capital K 70 times in the King James Bible. Now see which one of you guys can do this. Get your Bibles out. Ready to do sword drills? Ready? Ready? Turn to the 70th chapter of the Bible. Charge! Whoever gets there first gets a free video off the table back here. Which is it? Exodus 20. Tell me what is in Exodus 20. In the 70th chapter of your Bible, God put the 10 commandments. 7 times 10. That is a fact. If you don't like the fact and you don't like what it says, I can't help it. But that is a fact. Amen? The words of the Lord are pure words, and silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified how many times? That, Psalm 12, is the 490th chapter of the Bible. 70 times 7. It's a fact. You say, well, what about other Bibles that have it? See? You know what they do? They rearrange them so you can't find the order. Amen? That's like your wife rearranging the living room and you come home at night and don't want to wake her up so you don't turn the light on. Some of you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. Amen. Hey, watch this. The phrase, the word of the Lord, 245 times in the Old Testament, that is 7 times 7 times 5. The phrase, Lord of hosts, also 245 times in the King in the Old Testament. Exactly the same, multiples of 7. Faith, the word faith, 245 times in the New Testament. 7, a multiple of 7. Thy word, mentioned exactly 7 times in the New Testament. Thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, Lord of hosts, God of Israel. The phrase, thus saith the Lord, is mentioned exactly 70 times in the King James Bible. God spake all these words saying, there's 7 words there, that's the 70th chapter of the Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what was God. Why am I holding 3 fingers up here? That's another number, is it? See the pattern? Why? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. That is the Godhead, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these 3 are... And what you know what God's name is? 1. Look that up. In fact, I could probably look it up. But His name, 1. It's God's name. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is... 1. Lord. Okay? God, so anyway, it just makes sense. But watch this now. In the beginning... God created the heavens and the earth. Did you know the Godhead is there? Because the 3 basic parts of our universe are time, space, and matter. That's our universe. Time, in the beginning. Time has 3 forms. Past, present, future. God created the heavens. That's space, 3-dimensional space. It's in 3 dimensions. And the earth, and matter comes in 3 forms, solid, liquid, and gas. Because Paul said in Romans chapter 1 that even the Godhead can be seen in the things that are made. It's all there. So watch this. The exact phrase, the word, capital W, 7 times in your King James Bible, including the missing verse out of all the Bibles except the King James. The word, 7 times. The phrase, the exact, this is what... When I found this, this is what I stopped right here. I saw the phrase, the Word of God, mentioned exactly 49 times in the King James Bible. And I looked at that and I said, either there's more patterns in the Bible, or that's just an accident. And the Holy Ghost is going, Mike, you know it's not. You know it's not an accident. You know this Bible's right and it's in order. So I said, God, if that's real, show me some more. And He did. This Bible's in order. Faith, 245 times. Phrase, Word of God, 49 times. So then faith, multiple of 7, cometh by hearing, and hearing by? Word of God. If you have a perfect Bible, then you will have perfect faith. If you have incorruptible Bible, then you can have faith that is incorruptible. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 talks about the gospel of God. The phrase gospel of God mentioned 7 times in the King James Bible. The word message, 7 times. 7 thunders, the word thunder, 7 times in the Bible. What, you know what thunders are? They're the voice of God, because when God said, Father, glorify thy name, then came a voice from heaven saying, I both glorified it and will glorify it. And some people said that it thundered. It was God's voice. Thunder, the voice of God, 7 times. The name Jesus is mentioned. Now, there are 3 occurrences. Actually, the word Jesus is mentioned. Let's see if I can find it here. Is mentioned 983 times in the King James Bible. And that's what threw me. But then I found out that 3 occurrences were not in reference to Jesus Christ. One was in reference to another Jesus. And the 2 references to Joshua of the Old Testament. So that left 980 occurrences of just the name Jesus in the King James Bible. That is 70 times 7 times 2. Now you think about that. Lord, how oft shall we forgive our brethren? Until 7 times? Yea, I say until 70 times 7. Jesus was referencing the 70 weeks of Daniel, where he's going to do the 7 things and he's going to forgive Israel of her sins. But notice that the 490, the 70 times 7, is multiplied by 2. Why so? Because when Jesus came the first time, he came to forgive Israel. And they wouldn't have it. They didn't want it. So he's coming again to be the 70 times 7 forgiver of his people Israel. The phrase Son of Man is mentioned 196 times, 49 times 4. The phrase Jesus Christ is mentioned the exact same amount of times, 7 times 7 times 4. Also, the word, I can't find it here, the word book or books in your Bible is 196 times. See the patterns here? Son of Man, 196 times. Jesus Christ, 196 times. Book or books, 196 times. Because you can't have Jesus without his book. Okay? Now, I'm going to kind of flip over. I'm going to kind of move through some things here, and I want to kind of get to something here real quick. Take your Bibles. Everybody take your Bibles and turn to the 777th chapter of the Bible. While I sit down and rest. If you will go to purebiblesearch.com, download our free software. Okay? By the way, I got an email from the lady who wrote it. She told me, I counted it up. I didn't know I did this. She said, I've spent over 3,000 hours writing this software. She's not bragging. She just said, you know what? This is what's kept me going this year. It's just this effort. If you'll download the software, you'll be able to count the chapters of the Bible. He said, because you hit a chapter of the Bible and they'll tell you what number it is. She is going to a conference and she's going to learn how to write this software for Android phones or tablets. Yeah, it is awesome. Okay? Because everybody, listen, this is the world we're living in right now. Everybody's got this stuff. And if we can give them the power of the Bereans to be able to search the Word anytime they want to, imagine what God can show His people in these last days. My people are destroyed for lack of what? Knowledge. So I think we are in a time right now where you and I, the only reason why we can't have the knowledge of this Bible is that we're too lazy.
Yes, sir.
To do it. We've made it simple. The Bereans took them weeks, maybe months, to go through the whole Old Testament to see whether or not the apostles were telling them the truth. You can find it out in 5 minutes. I suggest you do. Jeremiah 32. I should have told you that. Jeremiah 32 is the 777th chapter of the Bible. I've been talking about a book for the last 2 days, and I know I've skipped through a lot of stuff, and you know, just time won't let me to really get deep into a lot of things. That's why I just encourage you to get the videos back here. And please, I'm just encouraging you. We've already spent the money. They're already there. They're not going to go to waste. We want you to take as many as you want to take with you. Okay? If you say, you know, I got like five people I think would like to see a couple of them. Get six of them. Because you might think somebody else on the way home. Get these videos. Watch them for yourself. Make sure that you think everything's going to be okay. Give them out to people. Let people see what it is. And that's where I get my blessing from. Okay? That's where I get my blessing from. 777th chapter of the Bible. I'm going to show you why you're here. We've been talking about the book. So the book, and everything is about the book. I'm a man of the book. All right? So let me scroll through this here on my screen here, and I'll show you what I'm getting to. In Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 7, "Behold, Hanameel, the son of Shallum, thine uncle's son, shall come unto thee, saying, Buy thee my field that is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is thine to buy it. So Hanameel, mine uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison according to the word of the Lord, and said unto me, Buy my field, I pray thee, that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is thine, and the redemption is thine. Buy it for thyself. Then I knew this was the word of the Lord." See, because God doesn't lie. If He says this is going to come to pass, it's going to come to pass. So he said in verse 9, "I bought the field of Hanameel, mine uncle's son, that was in Anathoth, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver." Why? Now there's a connection here. Why does the Bible go out of its way to give you that one number? Because it's connected to other things where that number is. And if you'll study enough, I can't do it for you. God will start making the connections for you in your mind. Well, there's 17 things here. Well, look here, there's 17 things here. There's 12 tribes here. There's 12 apostles here. I wonder if they're connected. Are they? They're connected right here. So you start making these connections. So, 17 shekels of silver. And I subscribed the evidence and sealed it. Think of a book that God has in His right hand. And what is it? It's sealed with how many seals? Seven seals. The seven spirits of God. So I weighed in the money and the balances. So it took the evidence of the purchase, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom and that which was open. So now he's got two copies. One copy is sealed and the other one is open. Now watch this. You're going to like this. The 27th book of the New Testament is Revelation. And it specifically says in the book of Revelation that it sealed not the sayings of this book. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
So keep looking at the pastor over here, because if he don't buy it, I can't say it. This is his church. I'm serious. He is the authority here in this place. So I got to use him as a witness. So the 27th book of the New Testament, the book of Revelation, seal not the sayings. You know what the 27th book of the Old Testament is? Book of Daniel. What is it said in the book of Daniel? Seal the words. So now we have a book in our Bible that's unsealed. We have a copy that's unsealed. But we have a copy here that's sealed. Just like you see in Jeremiah 32. The Old Testament is sealed. But who's it sealed to? Who can't read it? Who is it that when they read it, there's a veil over Moses' face? Israel. That's why they can't see who the Messiah really is. Because it's still sealed. What's going to happen, preacher? Christ is going to take the book. And He's going to open the seven seals to show Israel, here's your land back.
Amen.
I'm keeping my promises to you.
Yes.
Listen, if you love the King James Bible, you'll love Israel.
Yes.
You will. I promise you, you will. You'll see Joseph. Oh, I wish I could talk about Joseph. You'll see Joseph when he's 17 years old being sold into the hands of the Gentiles. And now he marries a Gentile bride, has two children. Gentile bride. And he's the ruler of the whole Gentile world. And then how many years of famine are there? And his brethren come to him. But they don't know who it is.
Amen.
Until he speaks to them. He can't hold it in any longer. And he has to go and he cries. Oh, this is my brothers. And he comes back and he says, "It is I, Joseph. Be not afraid. What you meant to me for evil, God meant to you for good."
Yes.
And then he went to Manasseh's. And he went to Ephraim. Or I'm getting all confused. He went to, give me a name. Simeon. Simeon, I love you. I love you. You're my brother. He goes to Benjamin. Benjamin is so, where's Dad? Can you imagine those boys going back? You know how long from the time Joseph was 17 and sold into slavery until the time he revealed himself to his brothers? You know how many years that was? 22. It's the number for Revelation. You know how many chapters are in the book of Revelation? 22 years exactly. And they go back to his dad. And his dad's sitting there looking at that tattered, bloody coat. "Dad, we got something to tell you. Joseph's not dead. He's alive and he has food. And he's in Egypt. He wants to see you, Daddy." And so that's just such a beautiful story. Watch this. I got to close this. Verse 11, "So I took the evidence of the purchase, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom and that which was open." And I want you to notice what Jeremiah said that he did with the two sealed, or the two copies of the book. "I gave the evidence of the purchase unto Barak the son of Neriah, the son of Maaseiah, in the sight of Hananiah, mine uncle's son, and in the presence of the witnesses that subscribed the book of the purchase." You know what this is? It's the book of the purchase. "Before all the Jews that sat in the court of the prison, and I charged Barak before them, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these evidences, this evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed, and this evidence which is open, and put them where?" Do you know of a verse that talks about something being in an earthen vessel? We have this treasure in earthen vessels.
Yes, sir.
Amen?
Yes.
Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. "In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that ye believed, ye were what? Sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Seven spirits. Which is the earnest. You know what earnest is? It's the promise. It's the evidence that I'm going to keep my promise. The earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Let me tell you why you are here in this room and why God put us here on this earth right now believing what we believe. Because God saw some people who were made out of dirt.
Yes, sir.
But he said, "I can trust them." He entrusted. Who has a title to their house or their land? Who has a title to their house or their land? Raise your hand. Where is it? Huh? In a safety security box. Why? To protect it. Because you don't want anybody to change your title and move the property lines on your land, do you?
Amen.
Why are they trying to change the book, brother? Because God said, don't move the property lines. So why did you put it in the safe? So nobody could get to it. And so God found... Where are you from?
Erie, Pennsylvania.
I'm sorry. No, I'm just kidding. Did you grow up there?
No.
Where'd you grow up?
Florida. Yeah, Florida.
Whew, boy, I'm really sorry. God found a sorry, rotten, low-down, little, snotty, little brat boy who used to love to get in trouble, steal stuff, lie, do things he wasn't supposed to do. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. Did all kinds of stuff I shouldn't have done. Said things I shouldn't have said. Been places I shouldn't have been.
And if there was anybody in the world made out of dirt, it was me. If there's anybody in the world that didn't deserve it, it was me. And God took this little boy and He raised him up and He let me go off and wherever, and He brought me back. And He said, "Now, Mike, I'm going to give you something. And I want you to hide it. Because the devil's looking for it. And he's tried to alter every copy of it that he could find. But if I take it and I put it in you, he can't get to it. Mike, can I trust you with that?" See, that's a big deal for me. That somebody can trust me, like my wife, or my children, or my church. That's a big deal for me. So God said, "I know, Mike, I made you out of dirt, but believe it or not, that's exactly what I'm looking for, because I'm going to hide some treasures in you. Because one of these days I'm going to come back and I'm going to take that book and I'm going to open it up and I'm going to show everybody who my people are. It's Israel." So the question I just want to ask you tonight, can God trust you not to change the title? Can God trust you to keep this unaltered? Preachers, you're the worst at it. And I'm being mean now. I mean exactly what I'm saying. I'm not kidding around. You preachers are the worst at wanting to change the Bible. And you want to stand up here behind the pulpit and do it in front of your people. Shame on you for wanting to alter this book. When God called you, all He asked you to do was read it and preach it and meditate on it. He didn't ask you to change it. God called you to this day. Can He trust you with that sealed book?